Next, we have public comments. This is an opportunity for anyone in the public that wishes to be heard on a matter that is not on the agenda. Seeing none, Mr. O'Reilly has a short brief. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Bowen, come forward. Are you public comments? Okay, go ahead.
Just real quick, talking about the leases, and of course, I just wanted to reiterate that we try our hardest not to be around SAV, but I think there's two mechanisms that we could use to get leases that are unused back. One of them is transfers, where we have a person that doesn't live in the state anymore. They transfer and add a name. You know, several that the 10 years was up with no use, and they added their son's name to it, and they got another 10 years. And that's what he said was, "I got another 10 years
okay.
of no use." So one that would be the transfers, not either it has to be transferred completely or not okay. just adding somebody's name to it. And the other thing was when I buy an aquaculture license, I have to do mandatory reporting. And if I don't do the mandatory reporting, I'd be brought in front of the commission and my lease be taken away. But any other leaseholder, of course, they check the box in the year, send in the money, and it's good. So I think another option would be to have mandatory reporting for all leaseholders. You're either using it and you report it or you don't. And
okay.
that would be a mechanism, at least so you would know, yes, this person is using or no, this person is not.
All right.
Thank you.
Good idea. Thank you, Mr. Ford. Yes, sir.
Off the topic from before, a public comment?
Well, sure.
I can do it in one sentence, I think. I hope that everybody who cares about oyster aquaculture in Virginia, as I do, will take it upon themselves as best they can to get Richmond to recognize that we have a 19th century process for 21st century technology, as was said this morning. And I'm grateful I had a chance to say that.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the critique. Thank you. Mr. O'Reilly.
Good afternoon, Commissioner.
This is a briefing that...
The Commissioner, yeah. How are you today? I have a case here that I wanted to hand out some information that was relevant to. One is that a Mr. Arthur Elliott has contacted the Commissioner, and the Commissioner had a letter that he sent back to Mr. Elliott concerning a formal hearing on 28-2-2016. Mr. Elliott contacted Mr. Bowman and said that the extra copies of this medical exception case here are for all the commissioners, and that he could not attend. And then I would notice that on that particular letter, certified mail, it was his wife who signed for that.
Right.
So these are the medical information. The last item is Mr. Arthur Elliott's harvest history since 2004.
Which is how much?
Zero. I thought the commission should see that. And this has been a rather unusual situation that we've had. The commission will likely recall that month before last, especially, there were three cases where the commercial fisherman registration license, if you do not obtain it by April 30th of a current year, the only reason that there could be any exception would be if there was some sort of medical or military situation, which was a hardship that prevented the person from securing that commercial fisherman registration license. Otherwise, it reverts back to the way license was established in 1993, that you had a two-year delay. And so in that time, since 1993, the commission has improved on the process by allowing till April 30th, and also the two-year delay is now, it used to be you applied from December through the end of February, and then you waited 2 years. Now, the day you apply, anytime during the year, let's say August 1st, 2 years from that August 1st, you are a commercial fisherman registration licensee. So a little bit about Mr. Elliott. You have his harvest history there. This is his license history going back to 1988, a lot involved by oysters, different oyster gears. You also see that the last time he had a commercial registration was 2015. Before that, there was one in 2011, and there'll be a slide which will show that progression, I think, perhaps not. But in any case, Mr. Elliott has applied. There we go. That's what I want to see. He's had exceptions to the delayed entry many times, and each time was prior to the situation changing with the commission in 2015, August 1, effective August 1, the commission amended the exception process to the two-year delay, and that's where it was required that you did have to, get your registration by April 30th or have a medical or military situation. So recently he has been denied twice. The first time, actually both times, I think it was a medically oriented situation, but there was really no doctor's opinion or any medical certification of that until this letter arrived now. And I'm going to go back for just a second and come right here. So this gives you the situation that existed for the commission prior to August 2015 and to staff. And, you know, yes, it was a soft system because it was very difficult to figure out who really had fished and had significant, time on the water. At one point around 2014, staff decided that it should be a little more rigorous and had any applicant fill out and have an affidavit stating that he worked for or she worked for someone else, and that person would sign an affidavit that they did indeed work for them. The problem with that became pretty evident quickly. A lot of times the gear that they worked with, the fishery they worked with, that was even an affidavit from another individual, it didn't exist. So someone might say, I worked in the Halsane fishery, someone else would sign for that. Well, there was no Halsane activity from the person that signed it. That's just one example. So good intention back then, but it didn't get very far. So that's why staff came to the commission in 2015 and asked for a change, and that change was in red down here that you have to purchase that CFRL. You have till April 30th. And it's only a health condition in that year that kept you from purchasing the CFRL. So the situation now is, again, with Mr. Elliott. He had several times where he was granted an exception prior to the August 1, 2015. You can see that he did get approved again in 2014. He delayed and purchased the CFRL in March 9th, 2015, and then the commission acted in August 1, 2015. Several staff members have spoken to Mr. Elliott. He's convinced that he had a 2016 license. He did not. There's no record of him having a 2016 license. The medical information that staff just provided you has no bearing on Mr. Elliott's status. He's obviously been able to get in touch with the commission at will when he wanted to get back in the fishery, and I think he found out this time that that was not the case. So it's a situation that has been vexing, to say the least, for several staff members. Mr. Elliott has some rather unkind things to say to all the staff who has had the misfortune, if I may say that, of encountering him, and he still calls. Staff has been instructed if he calls, he is supposed to talk to the administration, talk to Richmond. If he calls at Richmond, they know his number, quite frankly, and they do not respond either. I can't think of any other time where we've had someone who literally has berated, badgered, and several other methods of just completely being uncivil and really out of keeping with the spirit that we have when we talk to anyone in the public. And the commissioner may have more words.
So the purpose of informing this commission is to provide you with the information that Mr. O'Reilly has provided you. in order to remove any appearance of conflict based on the demeanor and behavior that he has demonstrated toward the staff, not just here but in Richmond. I wanted to bring this matter to your attention. The commission, although Mr. O'Reilly has indicated that it would be a direct conflict as far as the established law that we have, I just wanted to bring it to the commission to see if they have any comment, issue, or anything else to say about what has transpired before we send a report to Richmond, quite honestly, detailing any comments the commission may or may not have. That's the reason for this briefing today. Does the commission have any comment or wish to take any action? Mr. Tankard.
No, my only comment would be that the staff, I think, is, in my tenure here, has always been over backwards to accommodate the citizens of the Commonwealth, its fishermen, and anyone who's interested in what we do here, and for anyone to treat staff in a fashion like this. I'm sorry for you all to have to endure this, and then I think anything we can do to mitigate having to deal with this kind of person, we ought to do.
Further comment? None necessary, but any comment? Ms. Everett?
Just a question. I agree with Mr. Tankard's comments, but from the, what is the daily harvest on average for those prior extension years? Is it?
Mr. Elliott has absolutely no harvest since 2004. And he was licensed back in 1988. Our computer system came on in 1989 as far as the licensing and everything went. But that's one of the unusual situations. If you are not harvesting, why is there this repetitive situation that we're in with him demanding to, again, be given an exception? And that's really what he continually has wanted to do and wants to do now as well.
Further questions or comments?
So he was offered the opportunity for a formal hearing.
That was sent to him by me, certified mail return receipt requested. Correct.
You're done.
Further comments? Thank you for the briefing, Mr. O'Reilly.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Any other public comments?